With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
What's good, everybody? Wow, that came out of nowhere.
Wow. Remember we did that last week?
It did. I just didn't expect it. I didn't expect it from you. I didn't expect that from you at all whatsoever. But it is Brian. It is Dexter Henry. This is the Ain't Hard to Tell podcast, episode 220.
Yes,
coming
sir.
To you live. We want to do this one, a special one, because we are going to be talking about all these NBA awards. No, we are not talking about the All-Brian team. We are keeping violence, I think, out of this episode for the most part.
Until the playoffs are over.
Yeah, until the playoffs are over.
Got to see how people, you know, got to see how people do All-Brian shit in the postseason. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. We'll see about that. We're not going to do this one alone, though. We got our boys with us. First up, we got my man, Gerard Hector. You see him with me every Wednesday on the NBA Exchange. You also see him on True Hoop. He joins us here now. Gerard, what's up, man?
Here
we go.
First, a couple things. Number one, the music was so loud, I felt like I was coming into like a hip-hop studio. You know when like rappers always be like, yo, turn me up in the headphones. I'm like, no, turn me down in the headphones. This shit is loud as fuck. Anyway, what's up, fellas? And second thing, I'm excited to be here. Am I still the number one returning guest in terms of appearances on this show? I better be. Y'all really messing up if I'm still not number one.
If it ain't you, it's Murph. It's one of y'all.
Yeah, it's you or Murph. It's you or Murph. And I'm disappointed. You talking about you hearing the music and it's all out. After that, I'm expecting to hear some bars. We ain't getting no bars. Man, get out of here with all that. What is that? We ain't getting no bars at all. Let's see. Well, speaking of Murph, let's see if Murph. Murph, you're here with us. Murph, as you know, Blackitologist, just came back from New Orleans. See his work on Anscape. Murph, you got some bars for us?
No bars. I'm sorry about that. I'm doing my best to hear you guys. Am I having... Can you hear me clearly?
Yeah, we can hear you clearly. All right, cool. I'm sorry if the music was too loud and that I burst the eardrum or two. But Gerard disappointed me with no bars. And someday we'll get some aggressive
bars. Wait, because when you come in and say, turn me up in the headphones, bars have to come after
you got
that,
to. Right? Yeah, there's nothing else after that.
But I said turn me down in the headphones, though. So, I mean.
So whisper, give us some ad-libs or something. Something. I don't know. All right, we're going to talk NBA awards. This is going to be a lot to go to and rather interesting, right? Because I feel like some way Brian is going to vote for all his peoples anyway. You know who that is. Bam Adebayo for Defensive Player of the Year. We know how it is. But we're going to start off. Brian actually made the order for this. He tried to go from easy to hard, so he said. We're going to go with NBA Sixth Man of the Year first. Player who's played the best coming off the bench. I always feel like this is an interesting award to look at. Why don't we just start with Brian, since we already know where he's going on this. Brian, who you got for NBA Sixth Man of the Year?
Tyler Hero. Let's keep it moving.
Do you want to say why?
Most points off the bench, most assists off the bench, top three in threes, top three in free throws, impactful, better than John Hollinger thinks, et cetera, et cetera. We don't need to keep we don't need to stay here for very long.
There's a lot of Hollinger hate.
Strays at John Hollinger. And there we go. Greg says what your team would be, and that looks pretty accurate. Mortis, that was pretty accurate.
Mortis was a sixth man of the year candidate for me last year.
Of course he was.
He started too many games this year.
Of course he was. Murph, are you keeping this as short as Brian? And who did you have for sixth man of the year?
Yeah, you know, I'm going to ride with Brian here. I'm going to go with his Miami Heat. I agree, Tyler Hero doing his thing. You know, Brian just gave all the stats, and I don't think this is a close one, really.
I'm with you. If we can speed this up, Gerard, do you have Tyler Hero the way I do as well?
Yeah, man, Tyler Hero. Let's keep it moving.
Yeah, Tyler Hero too. We got it. We got it. I don't think there's not much more that needs to be said about this. The only question that goes after this is how many other Miami Heat players did Brian vote for this year in terms of all NBA and who knows? A lot. Yes, we can do that. All right, moving on to coach.
I see what kind of show this is.
You should have known what kind of show it is. We're not going to let this be a Miami Heat show. We did that on Friday. We ain't going to do that now. NBA coach of the year. I feel like this is interesting how people might vote on this. Gerard, who did you go with coach of the year and why was it Taylor Jenkins?
I mean, you know it's Taylor Jenkins. Shout out to my Grizzly Cubs. You know that. Shout out to Monty Williams, by the way. Phoenix Suns, a hell of a job. Shout out to Ime Udoka, by the way. Celtics started, what, 10 and 12 or something crazy? Brought them all the way back to the 2 seed in the East. Shout out to them. But look, the Grizzlies' over-under record was like 45 wins or whatever. They are the second best record in the entire NBA. Memphis Grizzlies. Respect.
Yeah, I mean, Gerard has been saying this for like 10 years.
I mean, I've been telling y'all Memphis been on. I mean,
not 10. Did you like grit and grind Grizzlies?
You know I don't like that kind of basketball. Yeah, hell yeah. No. See, you know I don't play that.
It ain't 10.
Yo, Brian, that's a good point. Grit and grind basketball does not vibe with Gerard. It you definitely know vibes with you.
Yes, you know that is against all of my sensibilities.
It does, but it depends. Like, even they had, like, a little less shooting than I would want.
A little? Okay. Shit.
So...
Because you can score 85 points a night.
God. Tony Allen and Zach Randolph and Marcus Saul wasn't shooting that well yet. And Mike Conley struggled in the playoffs when they were really good. So, no. Yeah.
That is true. Murph, who you going with for NBA Coach of the Year? And why is it Tom Thibodeau?
Wow. Or Steve Nash. Don't forget him.
Oh,
but I'm gonna go Monty Williams. You know, I know. You know, when it's the brother's turn to get an award, you know, people come up with all these excuses, talking about, oh, they were supposed to be good anyway, and oh, they just came from the finals, and, you know, he didn't get it last year, did he?
Nope.
No. So I think he deserves it this year. And, you know, 64-18, nobody expected all that.
Machine.
You know what I'm saying? Nobody really, I know I didn't expect all that, them to just dominate the NBA this year. I got to give it to Monty.
All right, I can rock with that. Monty Williams, not bad. Brian, who's your NBA coach of the year, and why is it Eric Spoelstra?
I knew it was coming. Well, my top three, Eric Spoelstra is in that top three. I thought they were going to be good, but damn, I didn't expect them to be that good considering all the injuries and COVID and things that they had to deal with. I thought they were going to get 50 wins. It did more than that and got the 1 seed, which I don't know if anybody saw coming, despite all the things they had to overcome in terms of injuries and changing their rotations and things of that nature. So I think Spoelstra was a wizard this year in terms of navigating that. Taylor Jenkins was the coach of who, for me, was the biggest surprise in terms of where I thought they would be to where they ended up, the Memphis Grizzlies. I thought they were going to be pretty good this year. I didn't expect second seed and, like, clearly the second seed. I thought they were probably going to be in that 4 or 5 range, more or less. But they were a lot better than that and did a bunch of that without John Morant, which always has to be commended. And at least some of that has to fall on the head coach. So shout out to him. But I went with Monty Williams for some of the same reasons that Jamal had, because I thought Phoenix was going to be good. I didn't think they were going to be like far and away clearly the best team in the league, basically,
machine.
During the regular season, like
machine.
Easily. I feel like you got to give it to him this year. I thought last year he had a case as well, though I went with Tom Thibodeau. So Monty Williams gets it for me this year.
I'm fine with that. Okay. It's going to be split because I'm going with Taylor Jenkins on this team. I thought that Taylor Jenkins did an impressive job. I have no problem if Monty Williams wins this award at all whatsoever. And come on, Murph, we ain't hating on no brothers up here. That we are not doing.
The other thing I'll add about Monty is the team could have fallen apart with that DeAndre Ayton not getting paid shit.
Good point. That's right.
That, that could have been like off
the rails. And the Sarver stuff at the beginning.
And the Sarver stuff, right. Yeah. So Monty gets a lot of credit for that.
Yeah, and he got a State Farm commercial this year. So shout out to him.
You got a State Farm commercial?
He's in that one. He's in that one where he's drawing his doodling on the sideline.
Oh yeah.
Chris Paul's there. Yeah,
Chris Paul's there.
Put some respect on Monty Williams' name. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm going with Taylor Jenkins because I just feel like they were the biggest surprise to me. What the Grizzlies did, like Gerard said, a lot of people had them around. If they moved up to the seventh seed this year, people were going to say that was a great improvement. They exceeded that, far exceeded that, and I think the job that he did holding the team together, the identity without Ja Morant, that was for me. I like Taylor Jenkins. But, you know, look, man, we're going to keep it black. If Monty Williams wins, all good. I ain't crying for Taylor Jenkins. Let's put it like that. Exactly. We'll not be crying for him.
Shout out to Tyronn Lue as well.
He deserves some love there, too.
42-40 with that roster.
Tyronn Lue, Bickerstaff, J.B. Bickerstaff in Cleveland also deserves some love. Ime Doka, I think somebody has said him, too.
Yeah,
I think he definitely deserves some love there.
Better than your man Brad Stevens, Murph.
Who's responsible for him being there?
Oh, here we go.
Brad Stevens' success. What you talking about?
Oh man,
failing up to the front office. All right, moving on. NBA Rookie of the Year. This one I'm going to start with Murph because you know Murph always has his eyes on the rookies. Murph, I'm actually really excited to see what you pick here because I feel like if you pick who I think you're going to pick. Yo, I'm going to just tell you right now, get at him. You know who it is. Get at the people that you need to get at with this. Who are you picking for Rookie of the Year?
Yeah, I think you know where it's going right here. I got to go Scottie Barnes, man. You know, I was leaning Mobley most of the year. Then Mobley got hurt a little bit. It's very close. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to diss Mobley. Mobley may be the better pro moving forward. That's very possible. But I just think when you look at what Barnes has done, Toronto – obviously he's the fifth seed and he has a lot to do with that. He's, you know, for a guy who's a zero, a zero level scorer?
Zero level scorer, bro.
He's even shooting 30% from three, you know, better than Giannis, you know? So you got to give him props there. So he's averaging 7.5 rebounds, 3.5 assists, 15 points. The kid is just, you know, he's going to be something really, really special. He's just scratching the surface, still but 20 years old. He can do it all. But I think he's had the biggest impact as a rookie by a slight margin over Mobley. And in any other year, Cade Cunningham would be right there also because he's had a great year also.
Yeah, all right, definitely. Cool. The cool stuff there. Yeah, zero-level score. Ooh, people were wrong about that. Gerard, who do you have for Rookie of the Year?
So this is not unprecedented in the history of the Rookie of the Year Award. I gave Coat Rookies of the Year because we did that in 95 with Grant and Jason Kidd.
Jason Kidd.
So I'm going to do it again with Scottie Barnes and Evan Mobley. While I love what Scottie Barnes has done, and, I mean, you know, Coach Thorpe, shout out to Coach Thorpe on Through Hoop. That's his guy. He is a big reason why the Raptors are what they're doing right now. And LeBron James and Kevin Durant both purposely shouted him out at the end of game saying, yo, that dude's IQ for basketball is extremely high. When them dudes are giving rookies compliments, you know you real. However, the impact metric stats still say that Scottie Barnes is a net negative on the floor, whereas Evan Mobley is a full-on, almost 2.5 points positive per 100 possessions. So, yo, that shit still matters. I do think it's close. Cade, I love what Cade is doing. What I hope is that Detroit figures out how to put some things around him. Because while he's doing good stuff, I mean, he's still an overall net negative on the floor as well. So we'll see what happens in Detroit. But I think that rookie class is going to be very, very good in the future.
Right, I do agree with that on the rookie class. Brian, who do you have for Rookie of the Year? And what obscure player at the end of the Heat bench is it?
It's definitely not Omer Yurtseven.
Omer Yurtseven. Yes.
I think he'll be all right. But, you know, that's another story for another day. I, like Murph, slightly ahead went with Scottie Barnes, slightly ahead of Evan Mobley. And that's something that changed over the last couple weeks of the season. And I'm not somebody who usually reacts to, like, you know, finishing strong, being the be-all, end-all for the season. But it's not like Scottie Barnes sucked before that. I do think that he took over later on. Some of that is not even Evan Mobley's fault. As the Cavs were falling apart, they dealt with injuries. You saw, not that he was exposed, but without Jared Allen there, his job got very, very difficult. and Scotty Barnes was playing, you know, on a team that was rising in the Eastern Conference standings, had a hand in where they are now, averaging 17-8-4 since the All-Star break on 51% shooting. You know, and the Raptors are 14-3 of their last 17 games. And I, for me, it's not like winning is the be-all, end-all when it comes to Rookie of the Year, but it doesn't hurt, right? And for Scottie Barnes to be in the position he's in, he's a great two-way player. He has me thinking, like, you know, is he going to be in that sort of the way we see Kawhi and Paul George and Jimmy Butler and the elite two-way wings that we see now? Is he going to eventually get to that level? And that's entirely possible. Evan Mobley, I love him, though. Like, he was probably my favorite rookie going into this class, and Scottie Barnes was up there as well. But Evan Mobley, I think, is still probably going to be the best player of this group. And I have no problem with him winning the award. I just give a slight edge to Scottie Barnes. I'm not mad at Jarrod making this a tie either. I think that would be totally acceptable, and this would be a year to do it. But Evan Mobley is great. Like I said, fell off a little bit, I thought, toward the end of the year. But it's a very close race. And I think while Cade Cunningham is a distant third, he was showing you toward the end of the year, like, he can also be very special. So the top three players from this rookie class, you know, they're off to really good starts. So
yeah, this was a damn good rookie class, which I think probably exceeded what people even thought it could be good, but it was really good. I actually, it's funny, you guys want to say, I did the same thing as Jarrod. I said, yo, I think this is the first time we're going to get a co-rookie of the year since 94-95. And I think it's deserved. If you ask me, gun to the head, or as Brian likes to say, knife to the throat, because you got to make it messier, I do think I would give a slight edge to Scottie Barnes. But I think both of these guys actually have been so good, impactful for their teams and what they've done. And I'm with Murph on, I watched a little Scottie Barnes in the ACC, and he was even better than I thought. But this guy is like a Swiss Army knife. He can do everything. Nick Nurse had him playing the point at times, and he looked good. He looked good in control of the offense. He's running things. He never looks rattled. He's a very calm player that can do a lot. Brian mentioned the IQ. Oh, I think that was you, Jarrod, talking about the players with the IQ, respecting him, those high-level players. I think that's fantastic. I like what I see about Scottie Barnes. He's fun to play. Murph, I'm sure you would agree, the shot's going to get better. I think it'll get better. He's shooting 30% from downtown as a rookie. That's fine. Not looking like a zero-level scorer. Mobley, big man, can step out, do everything. He's going to get better defensively, I think, too. Two really good rookies. I'm going to give him the co-rookie of the year because I just really couldn't decide. And, you know, I know sometimes ties could be whack. But
yeah. I will say this, and this is not a knock on Scotty. Don't give him all the credit for what Toronto's doing. I mean, Pascal Siakam's been playing like a monster. Oh, no.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, just a little, you know.
I'm not giving him all the credit, but, I you know, he's helped.
Oh, so for sure. 100%.
To me, that matters also. Like, if Cade was on a better team, maybe that would help him too. But I just don't think he has a case compared to those two.
I mean,
Cade also played Cade's 74 games too.
Yeah, like Cade's second best player is nowhere near as good as
me too.
As good as Pascal or Darius Garland, right? I mean, who's the second best player in Detroit?
Jeremy Grant, maybe.
But he's been out since January.
Right.
So
Sadiq Bey, who actually played pretty hard towards second half of the year. So that was good there. I see my man Omar checking in. Appreciate you watching us here on this live. All right, guys, the next one, which I find interesting too, woo, NBA boy. Most Improved Player.
This is where it starts to get hard.
Brian gonna start wilding.
This is a tough one. Brian, which Heat player did you select for this? And tell us why.
You're going to do this for every goddamn award?
Don't worry. I got stuff for other people, too. It's not just you. Jarrod's going to get his licks, too, and so will Murph in some kind of way.
No Heat players there, though. I do think Tyler Hero will wind up on some ballots. And justifiably so. This is very tough. I have a couple rules when it comes to Most Improved Player. Me, personally, don't like voting for top five picks. I went on this rant before about Brandon Ingram winning it, you know, and others before him, et cetera, especially if they're in the first few years of their career where it's like, all right, we knew that, or we expected him to be this, now he's this, so we're just going to give him Most Improved Player. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. So under that logic, no John Morant, no Darius Garland for me. I don't think that they qualify for me in terms of what I'm looking for Most Improved Player. Like, no, because they're just developing at a rate that, you know, they were supposed to some degree. Desmond Bane was my second place guy. And typically, two-year jumps is another thing where I'm like, all right, should we really do that? But his jump was pretty significant because he just did what he did last year, but in a bigger role and did it very impactfully. His numbers, he was 9 points a game last year, jumped to 18 this year on very similar shooting, 43, 44% from three, and about the same from the field, 46, 47. And his per 36 jump was 15-8-3, from 15-8-3 to 22-5-3 or something along those lines. So it was 15-22. So he's been very good. But I went with, for most improved player, DeJounte Murray from the San Antonio Spurs, who became an all-star this year, who went from 16-7-5 to 21-8-9, per 36, 18-8-6 to 22-10-9. Went from just a high-level starter to a bona fide star. He's one of my favorite players in the league right now to watch. I think he's really good, and I think without him, the Spurs would be wherever the Lakers are, probably a lot lower than that because they just passed the Lakers late in the season. So, DeJounte Murray, most improved player for me. I think he's awesome.
Nobody wants to be where the Lakers are right now, sadly.
Trash.
I will say this already. Brian, we agree on this. I also was with DeJounte Murray on this. This was also my pick. Loved what he's done this year for all the things you said, the increase in his numbers, but also how it impacted, I thought, the Spurs late in the season and helping them win games down the stretch. Triple-double monster. Still can get better with the shot, but I really liked what he did attacking the rim this year, rebounding the ball. And a big thing for me was, if you watch him, he got a lot better defensively. That was the thing. He was buying into the system with Pop, got a lot better defensively. I still think the outside shot can improve, but I thought he made a leap this year that was definitely incredible, to the point where you're like, yo, I like how this guy is leading this team. Not quite sure he's the number one guy, but at least I really like the way he's leading his team. Numbers are off the charts in terms of his improvement. So DeJounte Murray was the guy for me here. Who did you have, Gerard? I guess you'd say, I'll keep it like Brian. What Grizzly did you have here improving? Why is it Desmond Bane?
I mean, what's there not to say about Desmond Bane?
Yeah, I'll get there in a minute. See, Brian? I told you.
Desmond upper body Bane, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, he's legit. Look, I will say, shouts to DeJounte Murray. I did have him number two on my list. I love what I saw for him this year. You know me, whenever I am tough to decide on something, I'm like, all right, what do the numbers tell me? And DeJounte Murray was already a net positive player, estimated plus minus last year, 1.8, jumped to 3.2. Significant jump, no doubt. Desmond Bane was a minus 1.2 last year and is plus 3.8 this year. A humongous jump in estimated plus minus. To Brian's point, he was 61-59 last year, true shooting effective field goal percentage. He's 61-57 this year. So basically, the shooting is exactly the same, and he's playing against starters as opposed to backups like he was last year. I just think that everything he has done. And you saw the reason why the Grizzlies were 20-2 or whatever they were without Morant. Bane was a huge reason why offensively, because they didn't have Dylan Brooks either, was able to fill up and get those points. I just love what I saw from Desmond this year. And on defensively, he is competing on that, and he's not a turnstile, right? He's actually a plus on defense. So Bane to me, and considering where he was drafted, also on Brian's point, I was thinking about that for a while, for like over a whole year, because Brian made this argument last year. I think I agree with it. Like, John Morant was drafted second behind Zion Williamson. Like, we expect you to be good. Now, to be fair, you have to put in the work and actually get good, right? Like, you have to improve. Just because you're drafted second don't mean it's just going to happen because you're drafted second. How many dudes we've seen over the year drafting in the top five and ain't done shit in this league because they don't work, right? So he had to get better. Exactly, right? Guys who actually have to put in the work. So I'm not going to knock him and say, like, he doesn't get anything because he put in the work to get this good. But I'm giving it to Bane.
Bane, Desmond Bane, can't deny that at all. He's been really fantastic this year at all. Murph, who did you have here? Come on, tell me. You pick a Nick for the second year in a row. Come on, you can do it.
Who was the Nick last year?
Julius Randle. Why are you acting like you forgot his name, man?
I forgot. He still exists? He still, I don't even know.
So he gave you, he gave
he's
you
still
the
in the league?
Down.
He's still
he
in the league?
He's still in the league.
Yo. They got to trade his ass.
Julius Randle gave Murph the thumbs down, and Murph was like, exactly. I don't know who that is.
Yeah, you don't do me like that. I'm a New York fan. You don't do me like that, all right? Don't give me no thumbs down, all right? See what happened to Baez. He out of here, too.
But, shit.
But no, I went with Bane also. I agree with Gerard right there. You know, just a huge improvement. I understand it's from first to second year, but it's a major improvement for, and it had significance because of what Memphis was able to do this year. Gerard gave all the numbers, you know, the points. Brian talked about the points doubling. PER went from 12.2 to 17.6. That was a great point Gerard made about what's his name being injured?
John Morant.
No, not Morant.
Dylan Brooks.
Because really, he just slid into Dylan Brooks' spot and became what Dylan Brooks was, you know, for that team.
Like, and a better shooter.
And yeah, seamlessly. So I think, you know, Bane, you know, and I've just been impressed every time I see Bane, you know, just a hardworking dude. I agree with, you know, I basically agree with you, Brian, in terms of like a top five pick. I wouldn't put it in those terms because it depends. Like if it could be a top five pick and he's garbage for 2 years. And if he really, like Gerard said, if he does the work and improves, you know, over that third year, I'm not going to hold it against him that he was a top pick because he actually, if you truly improve. But in Morant's case, it's just a trajectory.
He was good already.
Yeah, he was great. Right. He was borderline great already. We thought he was going to be great. You know, maybe it came a little faster, a year faster than you thought faster. It might. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, I don't think that's enough to get, you know, to put. First of all, I would be, if I'm Ja Morant and I'm that dude like he is, I don't want most improved.
He's campaigning for Desmond Bane to get it. But to your point, like, yeah, it's a rule, but also like I can break that rule. Like Victor Oladipo is a good example of somebody who like he wasn't really living up to his hype for a few years, bounced around to a couple different teams. And then he became a star, and then unfortunately he got hurt. Like, that's one example where I'm like, okay, that works. But, like, the Brandon Ingram one where it's like he's in year four and he just developed. The Ja Morant and Darius Garland now, like, nah, man, I ain't here for that.
Right.
If you could see it coming,
yeah,
then I don't think you should get the
I tend to agree with that.
You want that Oladipo tip now, huh, Brian? See, he's part of that Heat culture. Mm-hmm. Hashtag Heat culture.
Hashtag Heat culture.
When he was in Indiana, All-NBA, you were like, hey, he ain't that good. Now he real good, huh? Okay.
I still am like...
I'm messing with you.
Like, you know, I still...
Just say you love him, man. Just say you love him.
I'll say this. He had 40, 10, and 7 last game of the season.
He can hoop.
Like, and he might not be in the playoff rotation because of how he fits or doesn't. Like, he might be a break in case of emergency.
He could get paid somewhere.
I'm not turning this to the Heat thing, though, because I'm doing a show on 5 Reasons Sports right after this. So I'm like,
tune into 5 Reasons Sports where Brian could give all his Heat love. Wait, yeah. Murph, the funniest thing we heard was what you said in our chat about Oladipo.
What? Oh, Murph.
I missed that today. What did you say about Oladipo?
RB, yeah, he can't say it.
He got body, but, you know, he got body.
Oh, yeah, I didn't see that. I forgot about that.
Orlando, right? Orlando got body, but RB. He's a great singer. You know,
he's a great singer.
Didn't he win like what's that show?
Masked Singer.
That's right.
No, Victor can like he can sing. Like he can sing. No.
I know, and I heard that from my wife and son who watched the show. They're like, "Yo, I knew he was a singer. I knew he was doing that, but I didn't know he was like nice for real." And then
he's nice.
They told me he's nice.
People were saying
he
his nice album was good. You know what I mean?
No, he
has an album.
Yeah, nice for real.
I think it's called VO.
I met a dude who produced some stuff on his album at a career day. Of random places.
So let me ask y'all a question. let me ask y'all a question. So like a baller, right? Like NBA guy and like Dame or whatever, like he's got a rap album or like, you know, Miles Bridges raps. A bunch of these dudes got studios, whatever. Like we assume they're hard because they rap. So do you assume Oladipo soft because he sings R&B?
Yes.
Nah, because
he's giving me quick. Yes.
Nah, no, I'm just joking.
Yeah.
But I mean that's the stereotype that the course, you know R&B course, and remember right. Real R&B dudes have proved that wrong. I think Usher has beaten some people up.
Oh yeah. Yo,
Trey Song.
Go ahead and run up on one of these R&B cats. Go ahead. Go ahead and run up on one of these R&B cats.
Go ahead and run up on Jaheim.
Tell me what happened. Run up on them dudes.
Would you really want to fight Cisco? You know what I'm saying?
Nah. I wouldn't sleep. I wouldn't sleep. All right, moving along. This is the award everybody's going to talk about. This is going to be interesting. Mm. Most valuable player. We already got somebody in the chat who has Joel Embiid for MVP.
Luke Densmore, tell us why you're from Philly and why you're nervous that your team might get bounced in the first round. Let us know.
Why you gotta kill him like that?
He knows he's nervous.
He knows
he's nervous. NBA MVP. I'm so intrigued to have this discussion. So intrigued. Murph, who do you have and why is it again Julius Randle?
Yeah, well, I picked somebody a little better than Julius Randle. And I got to give it to my guy, Joel Embiid. I just have to do it. I know it's to me, my philosophy on this award this year is that it's the top three are so close, you know, Embiid, Jokic, and Giannis, that you can basically pick who, you know, your favorite player, or you can just pick one of them because you can't go wrong. I think all three probably deserve it. But I'm going kind of narrative. It could be my own narrative. I don't know. But I just feel like Embiid, he doesn't have one. So I think he deserves one. And I also think he was in the front runner spot up until they get this guy James Harden.
Got your boy.
And I'm not gonna let James Harden bring everybody down. You know what I'm saying? I'm not gonna let James Harden just ruin Embiid's season. You know what I'm saying? If it wasn't for James Harden, Embiid would get the award. I know if you go straight stats, you probably have to lean Jokic if you go straight stats. But you put everything into it. Like I said, Embiid held that team together. He had them with a great record without Ben Simmons or any other star. I think that, you know, that has to count for something. He's also campaigning. You know, he convinced me on the JJ Redick podcast. I probably need to vote for him. So I think, you know, overall, he's doing a great job politicking, you know, along with his play. So I'm going to go Embiid on this one.
Okay. Joel Embiid. We got one vote for Joel Embiid. So the guy who's watching from Philly, he's happy about that. Brian, why is this award for Bobby Portis for you?
Bobby Portis.
No, I think he was SEC MVP one year, but not the NBA.
Of course, you would know that. Of course.
I don't know. I'm just guessing because he was Arkansas. He was pretty good. Really good. Luka was fifth for me. Devin Booker, four. Embiid, three. Giannis, two. Jokic, one.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did not see you as voting for Jokic. Okay.
It was kind of similar to me as like when Steve Nash won his first MVP and then he was better the second year. And it's kind of like, dog, like, how do you not give it to him? Times 10, because Jokic has been a lot better than even that. He's doing things that like people already have him as the best second round draft pick ever. And I don't know who you even fight that with. How do you even combat that, et cetera, et cetera. Like, he's a ridiculous developmental success. In terms of like the catastrophe around him with Michael Porter Jr., one, not playing well because of a bad back and then having to sit out because of said bad back, Jamal Murray tearing his ACL, not being able to come back, and with Will Barton, Aaron Gordon, and Bones Highland, and Facundo Campazzo, and, you know,
trash
that like aren't awesome. And I like some of these players, but Jokic has brought them to, you know, where I think they can win a round in the Western Conference playoffs if he doesn't run out of gas again in the playoffs, which he has done. He's one of the only dudes who's been like remarkably healthy and doesn't really miss games like that. He rarely does. So I'm hoping that continues to be the case because he is awesome to watch. One of my favorite players to watch. And for me, it's very tough. Like between the top three, Jokic, Giannis, and Embiid, I feel like the order is insignificant. I just feel like, you know, you kind of just go with your guy here. And for me, I think it's toughest for me to not give it to not give it to Jokic than the other two. So I went with them.
Went with him. Oh, okay. Got one Jokic, one Embiid. Gerard, where are you going on the NBA MVP discussion?
In any season, any one of these guys would be a runaway MVP candidate. In any other singular season, they would just kill and you'd be like, all right, they're getting it. But the fact that those three of them are having this historic level of winning and production, it's insane. I have Joel Embiid third, Giannis two, and Nikola Jokic one. I'm going to do the anti-Nick right here. Nikola Jokic is number one in every single advanced metric. Every single one. Not second, not fifth, not seventh. Number one in all of them. And to Brian's point, And I'm not, you know, I'm telling jokes, but I'm being real here. Obviously, Will Barton and Aaron Gordon and Bones Highland and Campazzo are NBA players. But the fact that you got that crew to the fifth seed or the sixth seed, excuse me, in the Western Conference, that is strictly because of Nikola Jokic. If you take him off that team, they're winning five games. They down there with Orlando, Houston, Oklahoma City, hanging out in the dregs of the NBA.
Charlotte Bobcats.
Exactly. Win shares per 48 is the stat that has told us for the last 12 years who wins MVP. The person number one in win share per 48 wins that every single year, except the one time it didn't happen was when everyone thought because Russell Westbrook averaged triple-double, he should get an MVP.
He deserved it, though. But
that's except he did it two more times and didn't finish in the top five. So clearly, we don't care about triple-doubles. But that's a conversation for a different day.
Can't let that man have an MVP.
Nope,
because he should have probably got it that year, right?
Here's the thing. If Russell Westbrook had done this in a Grizzlies uniform, I do not think Jabari would be saying the same thing.
Oh, I definitely would, because I'd be like, get that man off that team. 100%.
Listen. You got a better version on your team. It's fine.
Oh, thank you. A way better version. but no, real talk. So, and Jokic is 0.300 in win shares per 48. League average is 0.100. He's three times above league average in win shares.
What about the defensive numbers?
He is a defensive.
He has a great defensive team, though.
He is better than Giannis in defensive estimated plus minus, and he's a tenth of a point behind Embiid. Like, look, he's not a turnstile down there. He's absolutely serviceable and above average.
You don't really think he's a better defender than Embiid.
No, I don't think he's a better defender. Okay. No. Right. But I don't think the gap.
He has gotten better as a defender.
I don't think
I don't think he's trash defensively. I mean, his number, like you said, the defensive win share numbers tell a different story. I think he has better numbers than Embiid, but that could be also a team defensive.
His team is a little bit better defensively, and some of that's 3-point shooting luck. I mean, the defensive numbers are always, you know.
We haven't figured it out yet, if we're being honest.
We haven't figured it out, and you have to watch closely. Look, as I said, if anybody wants to vote for either one of them, mm-hmm. I'd be like, I'm not mad at anybody. Any one of those three are worth it, are worthy. It's just everybody can't win MVP, right? It's like... It's hard. It's really hard.
No, it is hard. I went with Jokic here for a lot of my real cause is like, look, when it comes to value for me, it's a lot of it is what Gerard said at one point, which is if you take this guy off this team, right? You take the person off this team, what is this team? And you can look at all the numbers, all the stuff. And I really believe you take Jokic off the Nuggets, they ain't shit. Like, they are struggling out here. You're probably talking about them competing for the number one pick in the draft, right? Like this is what you're talking about.
Easy.
And, you know, we also didn't mention this guy in terms of coach of the year, but Michael Malone should get some credit because he kept things together even without Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr., you know what I'm saying, being out. He kept it together. So I think he deserves some credit. I think Jokic has been incredible. I've been impressed with what he's done on defense. Murph, you talked about, yes, I don't think he's good as Giannis defensively. I don't think he's good as Embiid defensively. But I'll tell you what, he's a lot better than what he was two seasons ago defensively, mm-hmm. which that was the point where I was like, kind of trash. You know what I'm saying? Like, people was just eating him up on that end. That's not happening anymore. He still can get a little bit better to me on the defensive rebounding end, although he has been grabbing boards. But in terms of, like, closing out on his man, helping out on defenders, for a guy that doesn't even move that great athletically, he's still been all right. Like,
he's been excellent.
He's been excellent. So
I agree with the Jokic point in terms of take him off the team. But I think you could say the same thing about Embiid. If you take Embiid off Philly, what are they doing?
That's fair for Philly. They be praying for Ben Simmons to come back. And
now Milwaukee might be a 500 team.
Yeah, I mean, you got Chris and Drew. You're gonna win some games.
Yeah, that definitely. We did this out of order. I was supposed to do NBA Defensive Player of the Year before that. NBA Defensive Player of the Year. Let's talk about that a little bit. This, to me, is going to be an interesting one. I'm going to start with Brian on this because we know he likes
defense. He said go last.
He said he wants to go last. So I'll have him go last. Okay, Brian, we'll not go last. He'll go last. Gerard.
Yes, sir.
Who do you have for NBA Defensive Player of the Year? And yeah, talking about that. Yeah,
I want to say, had he not gotten hurt, this would have been Draymond runaway. Like, he had that thing locked up in January. It was a wrap. But then he got hurt. Hasn't played 40-something games, and you know that's going to hurt him I want to shout out Mikal Bridges and Matisse Steibel. Hell of defensive seasons. But yo, the Boston Celtics have been the number one team in the NBA on defense since January 10th, I want to say. And Marcus Smart, oh, Robert Williams, shout out to Robert Williams, been really good. But Marcus Smart, a big reason for that. At the point of attack, he is a fucking nightmare. Like, and he, his willingness to literally get his face knocked out, his teeth knocked out. Like, you know, he's a Brian type of guy, clearly. You know, that type of willingness, like, you can't put a measure on that, right? Because that feeds into the rest of the team. You see them wanting to sell out for each other and sell out to go help and rotate and do what they got to do. And that is all of his spirit and his want to. And yo, we hardly ever give it to guards because big men always get it. And it's been a down year for Rudy, even though he's still been very excellent on defense. But I'm going to give it to Marcus Smart. You're on mute.
They can't hear me because I'm on mute. I don't want y'all to hear me sipping my water. Murph, who do you have for Defensive Player of the Year?
Well, so I told you I was having, you know, an MVP vote. I was heavily influenced by listening to
Embiid's podcast.
And one of the things that Embiid said that also made sense to me was that a big man should always win the Defensive Player of the Year because they have more responsibility.
I mean, you know,
this is good.
Shout out to Coach Thorpe. Read Coach Thorpe's article on True Hoop. Center is the hardest position to play in the NBA because they have all the responsibility.
I can't wait for Brian to get in on this. This is going to piss
him off. But it's true. You funnel everything to him, all that kind of stuff. So while I definitely agree with Gerard that Smart is a beast, no question about it. Wouldn't be mad if he gets the award. I got to go with Brian's guy, Bam Adebayo. I just got to do it. I got to show him some love. His defensive metrics are a little better than Smart's. And, you know, like I said before, he just has so much responsibility on that team. As Brian will tell you, almost every day of the week, he can switch out on anybody. You know what I'm saying?
He'll tell you.
He alerted me to this. I had to start watching. You know? So, I got to give it up to Bam here. I didn't put him on any other teams or awards, just to play spoiler right here. So I think he deserves something.
Wait. You gave him Defensive Player of the Year, but you didn't put him on first or second team all defense?
Defense.
I was about to say.
He ain't making an all-NBA team, no.
Yeah.
Brian, are you shocked, as much as I am, that Murph...
Wait, Brian, first, why do you think center is not the hardest position to play in the NBA?
I'm not saying it is or it isn't. I'm just saying a center shouldn't always have to win Defensive Player of the Year.
Talk your shit, Brian. Go.
I just don't think that's the case. I'm gonna. Okay, shout out to Mikal Bridges. Yeah, that's fine. I'm gonna talk about two people. And Mikal Bridges has been very good. He's third for me. Marcus Smart, being the best defensive player on the best defensive team matters, and having one of the best guard defensive seasons ever. I think matters, or at least in my lifetime, which is a shorter lifetime than you guys. Only player to have 200 deflections, 115 steals, 75 loose balls recovered, and 15 charges drawn this year. And it's like we've seen Marcus Smart sort of knock on the door getting to this level defensively, and this year it feels like defensively he put it all together. I don't think the stats do him justice because we haven't figured out how to make the stats do guards justice defensively, which is why centers usually win Defensive Player of the Year also, because that's another element of this. Not all of the best perimeter defenders get a bunch of steals. That's not always the case. But a lot of the best rim protectors get a bunch of blocks, except for, I guess, Tyson Chandler that one year he won Defensive Player of the Year. Only 0.87 points allowed per isolation. He can switch 1 through 5, but not like Bam. Bam Adebayo defended 206 isolations this year. 0.8 points per possession allowed, 0.75 if you don't count assists. He switched 600 screens this season, almost 200 more than the next person, and that was surprisingly Isaiah Stewart. And the most switches per 100 possessions at 18.2. That's the most probably ever. Covers the most ground in the league. When he switches, they allow 88 points per 100 possessions. That's it for the entire possession. Half court points allowed, 104.3 per 100, which is the lowest in the NBA. That's the Heat as a team. So teams try to move him around and get him out of the play, and then he helps on the weak side, contests, blocks a shot, does a lot of different things. I call him Darrell Revis, and I call Rudy Gobert Richard Sherman, because Richard Sherman is great at being a zone defensive player. I mean, not a zone defensive player, but guarding a area, guarding a zone, guarding the paint. But I think you can throw Bam on anybody, and he can cover them and shut them down, and I think it's a little bit different. And that's not a diss either. I just think that they're different type of dudes. I liked Richard Sherman a lot when he was at his peak. But
you do not like Rudy Gobert. We can just say that.
No, but Darrell Revis was better. Like, he just was.
Well,
and
yeah.
He went to
the University of Pittsburgh. So.
And there are people saying that Bam can't win the award because of games played. When Rudy Gobert is first defensive player of the year in 2017-18, he played 56 games. Bam played 56 games this year and was better this year than Rudy Gobert was that year. And the Utah Jazz were 48-34, fifth in the Western Conference at that season. And they lost, surprisingly, in round two, because they actually won a series that year. So to me, I actually have this as a tie between Bam Adebayo and Marcus Smart. I don't think that's ever been done before in NBA history.
This is all to make you happy. This is all to make you happy.
Here's the thing. I just can't not, like, I can't diss the other one. I couldn't make a choice, so I'm like, all right, like, I'm banging the drum, like, guards should get more respect in a wing-driven lead, in a guard-driven league for their defense when they're fucking allowed to play it, and Marcus Smart is able to do that this year to the highest level, and then Bam Adebayo, you already know how I feel about him, so I'm going to tie Bam Adebayo, Marcus Smart.
Just quickly, another reason that I think, you know, big men have an advantage in this also is because I consider defensive rebounding a part of defense also. And maybe the most important part in terms of closing out a possession.
They have an inherent advantage because they're closer to the rim.
Yeah, they're just
bigger. And they're bigger.
I'm like, I don't think
that's who guards, you rely on. That's who you rely on.
I don't think guards should be penalized for that. So if I'm using size, I think Marcus Smart gets the most out of being 6'4", 200 whatever pounds.
I have to agree with that.
Okay.
There are guards who average eight rebounds.
There needs to be commended for that. I mean, well, and let's be honest about some of the guard rebounding. Nowadays, you're seeing guards come up with a lot of rebounds because motherfuckers are just launching threes from everywhere, and we're just getting longer rebounds.
I mean, yes, Steph averaging six and a half, seven rebounds sometimes. It's like, stop it.
But to Murph's point, right? About defensive rebounding being one of the most important parts of defense, which I agree. Anytime you've been coached, right? Secure the defensive rebound. That's how you end the possession.
You don't get that rebound, it's nothing,
right? To that point, my vote is for Marcus Smart. I'm going to say that here. But why it is to that point is Marcus Smart, if you watch him, this dude is boxing out seven-footers. He is good at that. Like, that's, if we're saying that's part of defense.
He's a fire hydrant.
Yeah, he's good at that. And you know what? Seven-footers. If Rudy Gobert knows Marcus Smart, he don't want no part of that. You know, I'm not saying he can't get the rebound. He knows that he makes it tough for him. Marcus Smart is a problem in terms of you being able to get that defensive rebound. And that, to me, is a sign of somebody who's really good all around. Brian hit a lot of the points on there. So did Gerard. I think he's been the best defender on the best defense. He deserves credit for that. I agree with Brian 110% that we still haven't figured it out in terms of how we assess how good people are defensively on the perimeter. We haven't done that, and it has to be some value to that and looking at that. And I think this is a year where we saw a guy who's tremendous on the perimeter and does good things, like I said, like he's boxing out big guys. He's taking charges. He's causing deflections. He is the heart and soul of that defense. The Celtics defense is really good. I got to give it up to Marcus Smart on this one. I'm not mad if you want to go. I actually thought you were going to go with Embiid, Murph. That's who I thought you were going to go with at first. I'm not mad if somebody wants to give it to Bam, and I think Bam is deserving.
Excellent points on Bam.
I also would like to give some love to Gerard's boy. Gerard knows I've been beating the drum for this on the NBA Exchange. Jaren Jackson Jr. deserves some love in terms of that. The only problem with Jaren Jackson, I think that'll hurt him, is he has fouled a lot in some games and gotten himself in a lot of foul trouble. Watching the Grizzlies, he's been in foul trouble a lot this year. But when he's not, whoo, that man's help defense has been fantastic.
And you just started about him this year.
Maybe this is the best part of his game this year.
Yeah, and this is less foul than he's been doing. This is less fouling than he's been doing.
Yeah, and I still think you can cut that down, right? Like, mm-hmm. I still see the improvement there. Mikal Bridges, who both you guys Brian and Gerard, you shouted out, definitely deserves some credit. He's been one of the better on-ball defenders this year.
Excellent.
Too, and he deserves a lot of credit. So
I mean, Phoenix is the number three defense in the league. I mean, Chris Paul and him are a huge – I mean, of course, DeAndre Ayton. Huge reasons why.
And he's the guy that they typically set on the other team's best score.
So like, oh, there's that 38-point-per-game scorer. You got to shut him down. All
right. Yeah. And he did Steph Curry earlier this year, which a lot of people remember.
He's been taking that assignment. Okay, let's keep it with defense. This is the Brian time that he likes to talk.
Oh, shit.
NBA all defense, and I'm really first team will go with, because I'm really intrigued because this was tough for me.
This was hard.
And how you guys decided to break it up.
Let me go first on this.
Go.
Because I want to say something real quick. I don't give a fuck about positions. Okay. I don't care. I am picking the five best dudes, and that's all defense and all NBA. So first team, Bam Adebayo. Like that?
wait, can we see Brian's face? He's smiling. He's happy. He's jumping.
It's obviously on my first team.
Ready? Because I don't care about positions. Rudy Gobert. That's right. I got two big dudes on my team because I don't give a shit. Mikal Bridges, Matisse Thybulle, Marcus Smart.
You're a bad man.
Good luck scoring on that team.
Ooh, okay.
Say that what? You said Rudy Matisse Gobert, Thybulle. Bam, Matisse Thybulle, Marcus Smart, and Mikal Bridges, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
Not bad. That's first team. We just do first team, right?
First team. Yeah, Murph, who'd you have for your first team?
I had Adebayo, Smart, Mikal Bridges, Gobert, but I had Jaren Jackson Jr.
Shout out to my guy, Trip
Jackson Jr.
That's
on
a lot of length.
Good luck scoring on that team.
Good luck. I would want no parts of that. Brian, did you pick five Heat players?
No.
Okay.
No Strutes.
Hey, he did have those game winning stops against Boston. He
had those game winning stops against Boston. Max Strus. Gabe Vincent.
Gabe Vincent could guard.
All
defense first team. I do have one Heat player, Bam Adebayo. I'm surprised, unless Dexter, you sort of buck this trend here. I'm surprised I'm the only one that has this guy on the first team, but I actually get it because, you're splitting hairs at center. But I went with Robert Williams on my first team.
Yeah, on the second Celtics team for me.
And I have Rudy on the second team, spoiler alert, but it was very close. Mikal Bridges is on my defensive first team. And in the backcourt, we have Marcus Smart and
Gary Payton II, I bet.
Fred VanVleet.
Wow. Wow. That's an interesting pick. Fred VanVleet.
I know why you put him there. I don't love his defensive metrics.
Yeah.
And he's small.
I don't think the metrics measure his activity well enough, because I was looking through some of those and I was like, I don't know what they're missing. But like, again, another one of the reasons why Toronto's been so good this year is not only that Fred VanVleet became an all-star, it's also just the two-way play that he's had when he's been healthy. Now, I'm a little bit concerned about the health because it's been like nagging shit all year long. Take it from somebody who had him in fantasy, I know. But look, I think Fred VanVleet's had a very, very, very high level season defensively in a year that, like, is again very tough, especially in the backcourt, because there are a lot of guys in the mix there. But Fred VanVleet and Marcus Smart for me. So Robert Williams, Bam Adebayo, Mikal Bridges, Fred VanVleet, Marcus Smart. That was my first team.
Yeah, okay. I kind of wish I had done what Gerard did and was like, fuck positions. I didn't do that here. I tried to move some things around with positional flexibility. And I kind of regret some stuff because I might have flipped some stuff another way. I'm actually making a change to my first team on the fly right now.
There you go, guys.
I did to the guard positions. I had Marcus Smart, Mikal Bridges, put him as a guard. I put Bam as a forward. Also, Jaren Jackson Jr. as a forward.
Trip,
and I put Rudy as the center. Right. Good luck scoring on that team. That's my five. My flip, which I'll explain when we do the second team. I'll explain who I flipped out and took off the first team. But those are my five that I have. But I'm kind of with you on this, Gerard. It's probably fine for defense. We don't need to go positions.
No.
We need five best defenders. We need to do that with everything, but specifically for defense. Yeah. I think that's fine. All right, second team. Gerard, you go first again. Who you got?
Jared Allen at center. Trip J at power forward. I mean, whatever. Why am I saying position? I don't give a fuck. Robert Williams, Draymond Green, and Drew Holiday.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
That's interesting. Okay.
That's a good one.
Team to score on that one too.
That's interesting. I don't know. Drew and Tripp
give you all the positional versatility that you need, and Drew too.
Drew is one that I struggle with because I felt like he wasn't as sharp defensively.
I didn't love the metrics for him, but like every Bucks game that I watched, I'm like, damn, this motherfucker can guard.
He still could do. Look, we should have three all defensive teams, honestly. But
I agree with that. Murph, who'd you have for second team?
I had Williams, Holiday, Dybul, Draymond, and I put my guy Tatum on there. Second team.
Ooh. Tatum!
Tatum. I mean, look, Gerard, his defensive metrics.
He has got better. He's got better.
Jason Tatum and expertise.
Damn, tell him why you mad. All right, Brian, who you got?
Rudy Gobert, who almost made my first team. Jaren Jackson Jr., who almost made my first team. Mm-hmm. And I really wanted to put him on my first team. Giannis Antetokounmpo, who I also wanted to put on my first team.
Giannis.
I thought this dude was kind of falling off a little bit, and he went to Minnesota and led these motherfuckers into the playoffs. Lord.
Here we go.
Patrick Beverley, baby.
There we go. Trick on y'all, man. He don't play no defense. Just be running around. Don't do nothing.
Yo, I...
You got the last word there.
Speaking of J.J. Redick's pod, the Patrick Beverley interview where he talks about that, look, it was I want to say good stuff, but for somebody like me, inspiring stuff. That would suffice.
Yeah, of course it inspired you. Of course it did.
And then at the other, the last remaining spot, so that's Rudy Gobert, Jaren Jackson Jr., Giannis Antetokounmpo, Patrick Beverley, and the Ed Reed of NBA defense, Jimmy Butler. Made my second
team. Jimmy is fucking me up, man. I can't really mess with that dude sometimes, man. He's really annoying.
As a safety, if you watch him, the motherfucker, like, shit that you
Jimmy's
won't
mad good. I just, you know.
It's tough. But if I did have an look, I just want to say this. If I had an all-defensive third team, because I wrote it out here, Jared Adams there, Matisse Thybulle's there, DeJounte Murray's there, Jared Vanderbilt is there, almost maybe made my second team. And mm-hmm. Dorian Finney-Smith is there.
Dorian Finney-Smith was a hard cut for me. Yeah. Hard cut. I had a tough time not putting...
Jared Allen was like... it was also like he missed mad time.
Jared Allen, his defensive metrics this year, though, are...
We should really have three teams. Seriously.
Yeah, I left Jared Allen off, too. I thought that was a good put by Gerard. I just one of the guys I put on at the guard spot, and because I was thinking about it, now I'm looking at it, I'm like, I don't know if he played enough games, but when he did, he was so good on the ball. And it was Alex Caruso. So I gave him a second spot.
I like that, though. Yeah.
No, he's nice.
Tybul, another spot.
So good.
Giannis. I flipped Giannis and Bam. I had Giannis first team, but I flipped him with Bam. That's who I ended up flipping. Giannis. I put Draymond, because he would have ran away with it, but not enough games. And then Robert Williams, Time Lord to me, had to get on there. So that was my five. All right.
The thing with all this stuff, though, guys, is like, in the playoffs, Giannis could like do whatever, but it's not a playoff award. It's what did you do in the regular season? That's what you're getting awarded for, not what you could want, what you could do in the playoffs. Yeah, I picked mad different dudes in the playoffs, but we ain't worried about that.
I went with Giannis.
I have a video coming out on that actually at some point. But
I went with Giannis because I agree with you, Gerard, the numbers for him were not eye popping or even the test. I thought he had a lot more responsibility this year with Lopez being out and having to play at the five. And so I gave some value to that because I saw a lot of help defense, but he had to do so much more for the team. So I wanted to reward him for that. So
I feel you.
That's kind of why I went there. All right. All NBA. Oh, we got three teams to go here. All NBA first team. Woo! I just want to know. This is all I care about in all this.
My fourth team is fire, I'll tell you that.
All I want to know for everybody is, where did you put LeBron James? Brian, starting with you.
First team.
Your all-NBA first team. Hold on. Do we want to go third to first, or we want to go
First to third. We got to get to the cuts last.
That's true. That makes sense.
More suspense on the third team.
All right. Yeah.
Because my first team is just my MVP
ballot.
First team is just my MVP ballot. It's just Joel Embiid, Nikola Jokic, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Devin Booker, Luka Doncic. Let's keep moving. Like, I don't need to get
into okay.
That.
Okay.
Okay. Fair.
Okay. All right. I'm fine with that. Gerard, who'd you have?
Jokic, Embiid, Giannis, Kevin Durant, and Stephen Curry.
Ouch.
Wow.
KD on the first team?
No, I will tell you why KD belongs on the first team.
Please tell 50, me why.
50-something games?
35 and 18 with Kevin Durant in the lineup. That is a 53-win pace. What other teams won 53 games this year? The Memphis Grizzlies and the Phoenix Suns. Not the Miami Heat. Not the...
Yeah, they did. Hold on.
No, they didn't. Miami's like 51, 52?
Nah, I think they're 53 and 29. I'm pretty sure they are.
Uh-oh.
Yeah,
either way, love to the Heat.
53-29.
Either way, same win pace as the number one seed Miami Heat. All right? I mean, look, you cannot tell me you watch any games this season and you're going to tell me that dude is not one of the five best players in the NBA.
Well, I will say this.
Him, I'm like, nope. Again, 35 and 18 with him on the floor. This team was in first place for a majority of the season. He goes down, they lose 15 straight. Wonder why.
He's so good that they're going to get him hurt again.
I will say this. When I watched Durant and all that stuff and what he did this season, the impact, and was it 35 and 18, Gerard?
Correct.
I watch all that, and I'm like, Larry Bird could have done that.
Stop playing.
Stop playing.
We're not doing that. Stop playing. Listen. I keep telling y'all, Larry Bird is Wally Zerbiak in this era.
You better hope KD gets a couple MVPs. You better vote him MVP this year.
Once again, MVP.
You better go get give him the MVP.
As my man KD said,
they always take the bait. They always take the
as he said when they were like, "Yo, KD, if MJ and Brad are picking teams," he goes, "Oh, you know I'm in that topic." Yeah, he is. He is. You are not picking 10 dudes in the NBA. A boy, you're picking that guy.
Gerard, what was it with the team again? You had KD.
KD, Giannis, Embiid, Jokic.
You said Steph? Steph made first team?
Correct.
Steph, KD, Giannis, Embiid, Jokic.
By the way, all five. Top five in the NBA in the best all-in-one stat that exists, estimated plus minus. Sorry. Is what it is.
The KD love fest continues for Gerard. Murph? Who do you have for all NBA first team?
I think I have the same as Brian, except I threw Larry Bird in there.
Chump ass Larry Bird.
If he were around, guarding
in a phone booth, acting like he all that on defense, trash ass.
So Jokic, Embiid, Giannis, Luka, and Booker. I'm not sure Booker belongs there, but because of the Suns season, I kind of put him in there last minute. It was tough, though.
Yeah, Booker's one I struggled with. Man.
No CP3, the Suns machine keeps rolling.
I didn't do it. I went, nobody voted for this. There's a guy nobody voted for of the three of you. I did Luka. I did Ja Morant. First team All-NBA. You thought he missed too many?
I thought about it.
20 and 2 with him.
Or 20-4, whatever.
His numbers are crazy, though.
I still feel like his numbers are crazy when he played. And I think
again,
he played.
What's the Nets record without Kevin Durant?
35-18.
How much has to do with
Kyrie is not a winner.
How much of their record without Durant has to do with Kyrie
wasn't even there,
not doing what he's supposed to do, and Harden quitting on the team?
What is their record without?
But that matters, though.
I'm just saying. I've seen Kyrie's movie. Hear you, Celtics.
No, I'm saying.
35 and 18 with Durant.
I penalized Morant and Durant the same because of the number of games.
That's fair. Okay. I don't have a problem with that. Also,
that's your criteria. Yeah.
But Gerard also explained his criteria, to be fair, and I will be fair to that.
Like, I didn't have Draymond on my old defense because I'm like, he played half the season. So
yeah, that's fine. So I had Doncic, Morant, Giannis, Embiid, Jokic. And I think all of us went with, fuck the. We're gonna go use a positional flexibility here
again,
and we're gonna make sure we get Embiid and Jokic on the first team. All right, All NBA second team.
All right, here we go.
All right, I know it sucks for you, Gerard. You cannot put KD on two teams. I know that, bro.
Now listen, don't start that shit. All right, don't start that shit. Y'all and y'all KD hate fest over here. All right, Carl Anthony Towns, et cetera. And I'm sorry, yo. I know Luka and Tatum been good second half of the season. What the fuck were they doing first half of the season? It's the whole season that matters.
Luka was getting in shape.
Exactly. Getting his fat ass in shape. Luka and Tatum are my forwards. CP3 and Ja Morant are my guards. So Towns, Luka, Tatum, CP3, Ja Morant. Second team.
Okay. Brian?
Karl-Anthony Towns, Kevin Durant, Jason Tatum, Ja Morant, Steph Curry. That was my All NBA second team.
Okay,
so we all have the same first 10 guys.
That's why I wanted to save three for last, because that's where it gets interesting. But
I do not have the same first 10.
Yeah, I don't have the same guys either.
Yeah, go ahead, Murph.
I got Towns, DeRozan, Tatum, Curry, Paul. So I threw DeRozan in there. Over again, games. He played, what, 74 games? 74, 76 games.
Kevin Durant. What the hell is happening in these worlds?
Numbers pretty up there with KD.
DeRozan. What are we doing right now? why are you mad?
Well,
you
know, he played 50 something games, man. You know,
what's their record with Kevin Durant? 35 and 18.
What's the record without?
Maybe if he'd played the rest of them games, he'd have been first team and had a better record. You know, they would they also because he's so fragile.
Here we go.
Durant took the Nets to the play-in.
There we go. This team was in first place before he got
injured.
And
what happened?
He got injured.
Right.
What Murph is basically saying
is tougher,
Larry,
baby. Larry you can't Bird get rewarded for that. That. You can't get rewarded for that.
Bad back Larry Bird, who wanted to get carried around by Kevin McHale and Robert Parrish. You mean that Larry Bird?
He didn't get the MVP. He didn't get the MVP those years.
You know why he got the MVP? 99% white media was like, white man, let me give another MVP.
Tell KD to average 10 and 10 and 30, then he'll get it too.
Listen, man, anybody grabbing 10 rebounds in that 10, archaic 80s style ball 10, where everybody's 10. 5 feet from each other.
I'm sorry, man, KD's just ahead of his time like Bird was, I guess. I don't know.
ahead of his time? Larry Bird is time. Wally Zerbiak.
You dominate
now.
The league like Wally that, you're ahead of your time.
Zerbiak.
I guess
Wally Zerbiak.
I guess KD's not there.
Bro. My man talking about he's the best shooter of all time.
Just
worry about 1-3 a game.
Worry about KD getting in the top 10.
Get the hell out of here.
Just get KD in the
Okay. All NBA second team and it still turns into a Bird versus KD debate with
trash ass Larry Bird. Fuck out of here.
I just find it hilarious how everybody gets so passionate about this debate.
Step your MVP hilarious. Game up. That's all I gotta say.
You know, if he had a media in his back pocket, he would get 3 MVPs too. You know how I go.
You love KD.
Yeah, I don't got a media vote. I don't got an MVP vote.
You're not alone.
I'm about to hit y'all with the mute button like around the horn, man. I'm about to do the mute button. All right. All NBA second team. I got Steph, Devin Booker, Jason Tatum, Carl Anthony Towns, and drum roll, please, the King, LeBron James. Why y'all mad? Why y'all so mad? Hey, look, the man put up.
You gotta go to Gerard next because I don't think he's.
Wait a second.
Gerard's
you put LeBron over KD?
I did put him over KD.
LeBron scoring points on a team that is out of the fucking play-in. LeBron James, who was a net negative, his team can't even win when he's on the floor.
Well, he had nobody else on the floor with him.
Go ahead, let's move on to third team, man. Go ahead, man. Hold on.
Are you trying to say he didn't have a great season?
Listen, he is the empty stats king this season. Look up when he scored most of his points. Look them up. Were they clutch crunch time situations? Hell no. Losing scenarios.
Hold on.
How many games under 500 of the Lakers? 12? 13?
Hold on.
And so he only played 56 games. He only played 56 games.
And the games when he was healthy, what was their record?
Hold on. Isn't that around the same amount of games that KD played?
What were the Nets' record when KD was healthy?
What was the Lakers' record when LeBron played?
That's not what I asked.
When he played with better players, did KD play with better players? Don't make me come out and say Larry Bird is better, bro. Don't make me do it, man.
LeBron second team, cool.
LeBron second team, he had a good year. Y'all can be mad, man. Don't be mad.
We are third team.
Larry Bird gonna come kick that ass. go ahead. Third team, all NBA.
Jared Allen, Jamar DeRozan, Jimmy Butler, Devin Booker, and drumroll, please, Yo, and it was tough.
Start over again. Say that again.
Jared Allen, DeMar DeRozan, Jimmy Butler, Devin Booker, and drumroll, please. I wanted to penalize most of these motherfuckers, but I couldn't.
Ja Morant?
Trae Young. No, Ja Morant's on my second team.
Oh, Trae Young.
I wanted to penalize Trae so bad.
So LeBron's not in any of your teams?
No. He's not. I'm sorry. I don't care.
What? Oh, so we...
It's not about games play. It's not about games play. Oh. We play the same amount of games as KD.
I just have a question. When we look at all NBA, do we look at people who play on both sides of the ball? Because Trae Young does not do that.
Stop it. But his offense tries.
Nah, man.
You don't try, man.
We see him square dance with people who say screens.
That's his trying.
I'm just trying to see what the criteria is.
He leads the league in total points and total assists.
Yeah, that alone.
You know why I wanted to penalize him though, Dex. All seriousness, like
yeah.
When you're the leader of your team,
unlike LeBron,
you can't come out and be like, "Oh, it's hard to get up for the regular season." No, not my guy. Like, you're the leader of this motherfucking team. You got to set the better tone. So I wanted to penalize him for that. Like, that was bullshit. But you know, they got him to the play-in. Look, LeBron couldn't even get them to the fucking play-in.
I mean, when you got street clothes on the bench, it's hard to do that, man.
Listen, street clothes is street clothes, but still, you could have won. One game out of the play-in, right?
Y'all gonna be real mad. Y'all gonna be real mad.
I think Trae would have got him. Trae would have got the Lakers to the play-in.
Y'all gonna be real mad. Y'all gonna be real mad if we were doing an NBA Executive Year of the Award vote, and I voted for LeBron. Y'all would have been mad. Y'all be real mad.
So obviously, all kidding and jokes. Apologies to Jrue Holiday, Rudy Gobert, Donovan Mitchell, Darius Garland, and LeBron James, I guess.
You got to apologize to Larry Bird, man. That's what you got to do. Apologize to Larry.
That's beyond an apology. You know what I'm saying? You got to go back to school.
I almost said something else, but let me.
Brian, go ahead. Who's your All-NBA 13? This is hilarious.
All right. Chris Paul.
Okay.
DeMar DeRozan.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Butler.
Mm-hmm.
I can't not put my defensive player of the year here. So, bam.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Two Heat players.
Pascal Siakam.
Shouts.
Wow.
Brian, no LeBron James on your All-NBA teams either.
No LeBron, no Trae Young, no Donovan Mitchell.
Those are my last cuts. Brian, every once in a while, you and I we see eye to eye. We crystallize.
I think more than once in a while. I think you should point that out. I think more than once in a while.
This is shameful.
We might get there different ways. But here's my thing, right? I left off both of them because I'm just being consistent and like, yo, if your defense is going to be that flagrantly bad and your numbers are going to be that good in terms of counting stats, but it's not going to be that impactful, then for me, I'm just not. I'm cool. I'm going to reward guys doing it on both ends.
I don't think
Pascal Siakam's getting enough credit for the season he's having.
He's played great.
As much as I love Fred VanVleet, Pascal Siakam has been like.
Wait, did KD make one of your teams?
He didn't make
second team. Second team.
But, okay. but to follow that point up on Brian's point.
Did KD make your team, Brian? 13?
Second team. He was on my
second team. Okay.
Take KD off all these teams.
That's fine. You can take him. That's fine. That's cool.
Yes, Sherrod.
You talked about counting stats having an impact, right? So Trae is like a counting stat king, but they had an impact though, right? They got in the play-in.
But here's my thing.
My point is that LeBron had great counting stats. It couldn't even get in the fucking play.
Yeah, but that matters who you're playing with.
Are we discounting Jokic's counting stats?
Hold on. Because here's the thing with Trae Young, too. Look at the guards I have ahead of him. Devin Booker, mm-hmm. Luka Doncic, Ja Morant, mm-hmm. Steph Curry, DeMar DeRozan, mm-hmm. Chris Paul, mm-hmm. Jimmy Butler is ahead. Like,
all have more impact on winning.
Where is he going to slot in?
Well,
right,
a couple of
and then with the with the LeBron James point with the forwards, it's like it's Jokic. I'm counting him as a mm-hmm. forward. Mm-hmm. Giannis and Durant and Tatum and Butler, Siakam, who played both ends of the floor at a high level. Pascal Siakam being a really good passer this year, also like mm-hmm. it's just LeBron a lot. Like again, like Iman Adan wrote on BasketballNews.com, when you pierce through the numbers, a lot of LeBron's points. He had a Bradley Beal season, straight up, where a lot of his points came at times where the game didn't matter.
He had a Bradley Beal season, right?
I didn't have Bradley Beal All-NBA last year.
Yeah, okay, some people did. I didn't. Some people did.
I'm not on the Bradley Beal last year.
I know, so it's not that crazy.
Bradley Beal's an empty calorie guy for sure.
We're splitting hairs here, and I think, you know, to some degree for Bradley Beal, it's also like, who is he playing with? But at the same time, like, yeah, continually again and again, he continues to get like 30 a game or around 30 a game.
I think Bradley Beal's more of an empty calories guy than LeBron.
But Murph, I was mad at Trae Young because that's basically the same team that went to the conference finals last year. And I'm like, yo, y'all couldn't even be like a 7 seed?
Because maybe they are now.
And they've run. And here's the thing. Like, and you know this from watching. Everyone knows this from watching Atlanta Hawks games. He has the ball in his hands all the time. He's going to get crazy numbers. 30-10 is not like something like he's going to walk into. But at the same time, he has the ball all the damn time. So I expect him to put up.
Larry put up those numbers?
Don't do it.
Is Larry capable of putting up?
Oh, Larry. I thought you said Larry. My bad.
No. Larry doesn't have the ball in his hands.
Just because he has the ball. But if he did, would he put up those numbers?
I mean, in Atlanta? Shit.
Would he? He'd lead the league in points. In total points and assists, he's capable.
No, right? I don't think he would, but he wouldn't do that though. That's the thing.
No, but he's not capable.
Because he would actually be developing other guys on his team and trying to get them better. Trae Young's just kind of playing like he's getting his.
But you're not going to tell me you would think Lowry's capable of that. Right?
No, but it doesn't matter because he's more impactful anyway. There was a play when the Heat were playing the Knicks earlier this year, where Lowry walked up the court. Tyler Hero had the ball in his hand. Lowry is calling the play. He's designing the play. Telling you two motherfuckers, go here. Y'all come here, do the screen, whatever. He's laying out the whole fucking play. They run the play. They score. He doesn't touch the ball one time. Look, that's Kyle Lowry. Trae Young don't do that.
He's also mid-30s. Okay? He wasn't doing that when he was 24, 25.
But if you look back at some of those Toronto Raptor playoff series, he was better than people remember. And DeMar DeRozan was so bad.
On my All-NBA team, but here's what I will say about Trae Young. There is a way in which the other Atlanta Hawks players, they are not invested in Trae's success the way that all the Memphis Grizzlies are invested in John Morant's success. Okay. Nope.
John Collins don't like that dude.
And that is a Trae Young character flaw. Whatever that is, okay? His teammates do not love him the way they should for him being a star player. I don't know why. I have reasons why, but that matters for a team. That's why Atlanta underachieves. He made my 13.
Murph, I'm not saying I necessarily disagree with these two here, but it sounds like two people who love their team a lot in Miami and Memphis. That's what it sure sounds like to me there.
But you know what, though? You know what, though?
Dexter,
both of you guys are borderline Trae Young haters from the start.
Murph, I admitted that. You know that. I went on MSG and said he has high bust potential. I will own that.
That's what I'm saying. I said it. I will own that. We all have our biases.
I will say this, like, in our defense, Gerard and I like actual teams, and that's what Miami and Memphis are, more than most other teams in the league.
You have to agree with that, Dex and Murph, that Memphis seem invested in Ja being good more so.
Miami's not invested in Tyler Hero. Tyler Hero doesn't have the season that he's had.
I'm asking why.
I will answer that and say, just to be clear, I was making a joke with y'all. I think that has a lot to do with, I hate to bring this up because Brian could probably roll his eyes and it goes with the team we talk about, but it has to do with culture, right? And I think the leadership and fostering that, I think that matters in any team. And that's no shade towards Nate McMillan or Lloyd Pierce that was there before them. But I think there is something too when you're building a culture as opposed to with the Hawks, where it's like, yo, man, we got Trae Young and ain't nothing else going on for us. And I think that's part of Murph's point too. Like, Trae Young has to make it work in a way because the culture is not there. I think it's all these things encompass that in other places other people don't, right?
So they went to the conference finals last year. They're good enough.
But here's the thing I'm saying. It could be a little bit like the Knicks, right? Like, maybe Atlanta somewhere between the ceiling of what we saw them last year and where they are this year.
You know, right? I didn't buy into them last year.
I thought Atlanta was going to drop off this year, so I'm actually not that shocked at where they are this year. It's kind of like, kind of what I thought they would be.
And maybe they're dangerous this year. Who knows?
But maybe. Do I think they have the culture of Memphis, Gerard? No. Do I think there's a lot to what you're saying and why Memphis is more invested in the individual success of Ja Morant? I think there's something to that, but I think there's also something to Ja Morant being invested in the success of his teammates. I'm not really calling Trey selfish because I don't know that, but I feel like the culture is different, that Trey feels like he's got to make everything happen in Atlanta, where Ja doesn't necessarily feel that in Memphis. You feel me? That's what I'm saying on that.
I think there's a lot that goes into it. It's different skill sets. Part of it, like, Ja Morant's not going to pull up from 40 either. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like,
right,
you have different skill sets that could alienate teammates, I'm sure. I said 2 years ago that Trey, you could tell that his teammates.
He got a buzzer beater and nobody went to that.
That is wild to me.
To reiterate, my third team, because we got off topic. Chris Paul, Mar DeRozan, Pascal Siakam, Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo.
All right, Murph, what's your third team?
My third team is Gobert, Butler, Durant, Morant, Young.
Okay.
So, and I said my fourth team is crazy, and I want to give a shout out to these dudes. Siakam, I had Siakam ahead of Durant. I was going to leave Durant off totally. Then it was like kind of what Gerard's argument was with DeRozan. I was like, I'm really going to put Siakam ahead of Durant? Like, I'm tripping. You know what I'm saying? So I couldn't do that.
Tripping.
So Siakam, Donovan, LeBron, DeJounte, and Holiday to me.
Y'all out here disrespecting the king, man. Forget y'all.
No, Greg.
He would have been on my fourth team.
Sorry.
He'd be on my
Demar's third team. Sorry, Greg.
LeBron and Trey would be on my fourth team.
Yeah, they'd be my fourth team.
You know what? I kind of do. One of the things I will say, in all seriousness, I do feel a little bit bad about is that I left DeMar DeRozan off. I did not put DeMar
completely
on
any of
the
teams?
I did.
You yelling at me about LeBron? You ain't got DeMar on none of your teams. What the hell is going on up in here?
I mean,
I'm gonna push back against you
on that. You talked about having to play the whole season. I mean, DeMar DeRozan was really impressive in the first half. He hasn't been that impressive in the second half.
We all kind of knew, like, all right, how long?
All right, but his team at least held on to a playoff spot. Your man's team couldn't even get into the play-in Western Conference.
Again.
A below 500 record gets you in. They couldn't even do that.
And this is, I don't like doing this because this is judging somebody against themselves. Like, Steph Curry had a down year for Steph Curry, but not a down year, for example. But LeBron, like, a couple years ago, he would have dragged that team to the playoffs. To probably like a 4 or 5 seed, even with
that's fine. I'm saying get to the 10 seed.
But I think that's more an indictment on the roster, not his individual performance.
But then he stopped caring. And he's like, I'm just going to score points and go for the scoring title. And to me, it's like, you're better than that, bro.
Are you?
Yes, he is, because he has been throughout his whole career. And then this year, he decided to be selfish. And now he wants to act like he wasn't behind the Russell Westbrook shit. And now he wants to act like he's not doing the thing again where he's in the last year of a contract or the fourth year of an original contract because he signed the extension. And that he's not going to fucking blow it up again on the way out like he did in Cleveland, like he did in Miami, like he did in Cleveland, and like he's about to do right now. Like, he does this shit all the time.
Yo, if the Lakers smart, you trade Anthony Davis and LeBron right now.
They're not smart. We know that.
They're not smart.
Let me ask DeRozan versus LeBron. To me, do you value the game? One of them is the games played, which was like 76 for DeRozan to 50 whatever for LeBron, and the team performance, right? So Chicago was 46-36, and LeBron's team we already talked about.
What's your question?
That doesn't bring mean anything to you.
It does mean something to me. I guess what I'm valuing is, and I'm not trying to get caught up too much in it, but I do think whether you think, to Brian's point, LeBron was chasing numbers and stopped giving a
padding.
Stat padding,
not impactful stats.
Right. He was trying to go for the scoring title. What else the hell are you going to do on that garbage ass team? If I was him, I'd go for the scoring title too, right? Look,
hold on, one more game.
I will finish and say
Kobe,
this.
Kobe would have played.
That's true. That I agree. That is true. Kobe. But so would Larry Bird. But I will say this point. I can admit where I'm wrong, and I think there was some oversight from me on this in terms of not putting DeRozan over LeBron. That's the thing I'd have a problem. That's the thing I would have there.
You could change it right now.
I could change it right now. You know what? We get LeBron up out of here. Get out of here, LeBron. No, because I do. No, when somebody makes a case for me and I think something's wrong, I'm going to say it's wrong. Because I do think Murph makes a good point. There's value in, we can joke about the winning and them not making the playoffs, but there's value in that he definitely was available for more games and put up, at least you could have DeRozan on the outside or inside the MVP conversation.
Through February,
right?
He was top five. Through February. MVP.
I think he dipped a lot off. And to DeRozan's dip, let's be fair on some of that. Some of that came from no Lonzo Ball, mm-hmm. no Caruso. Mm-hmm. He's asked to do more even on the defensive end than he was earlier in the season. So his stats did take a bit of a dip. And while I might say he wasn't outstandingly impressive on the offensive end, which I think you would see, his numbers took a hit because of that, but there's reason to be justified for it, and he was available. So I'm getting – here's what I'm going to do. We're going to remove LeBron from the second team. We're going to get him up out of here. We'll put him on Murph's fourth team. That's what we'll do.
DeRozan, he was dropped. He averaged 28 on very good percentages.
Very efficient play, too.
It's not like it couldn't have taken that big a dip.
Yeah, right. The efficiency wins of the team. I'm going to drop LeBron out of here. I'm going to make Jerod happy. Jerod should just jump up and dance around in his room right now because we're going to put Kevin Durant up to the second team with his 35-18 when he played all stuff.
No, they are what they are. If
Durant stayed healthy, like,
of course,
he might win MVP this year. You know,
of course.
But speaking of self-sabotaging superstars and who you surround yourself with. Oh, he is that dude on his team.
He gets an F. I tell you that all the time. He gets an F minus just like LeBron for roster construction. How the hell are you going to tie your career to that lunatic in Kyrie Irving?
Larry Bird never did that. But
stop playing. Stop it.
Robert Parrish was a noble man.
I'm going to move Durant up to the second team. I'm going to put DeRozan in that other spot, Murph. The rest of my team forward, I also had Jimmy Butler. Be happy, Brian. Center, I have Rudy Gobert, Chris Paul, and Donovan Mitchell on the third team.
Oh, wow.
Utah guys were
like among my last cuts.
I wanted to penalize the Utah guys and Trey, the three of them. I was like, I don't like any of y'all's energy this whole season. The three of y'all. But
Jerod, you had Jared Allen over Bam Adebayo, and I just want to know why.
I did, because I just felt like Jared Allen's overall impact was just better this year. Like, I get it, all the defensive stuff you gave me, but if you look at, like, that Cleveland team should not have been good. Like, but all of a sudden, it's like, they were third. They got up to third at one point when they were fully healthy. He goes down, and all of a sudden, they start nosediving. I'm like, that's a big reason for it.
So he was close for me, too, though. Like, all defense and whatever, and the injury.
And because Miami, and this is not, it's like Phoenix, right? It's like, how are you punishing the team that's number one in the league? It's like, because no matter who you guys miss, how the fuck are you still the number one team in the league? Because going back to my Durant point, Durant goes out, Nets are a disaster. Heat lose whoever, we keep winning. Suns lose whoever, we keep winning. Right? Like, so I'm like, well, that's because the sum of your parts, right, are greater than your whole. Right? That's you know.
And I think Allen's numbers is straight up numbers. I think are a little better than Adebayo's, but
they're not.
But I mean, if you look at the offensive numbers, they're better. Like percentage.
Well,
like,
yeah, because baby hooks and shit. But you know what I'm saying? Like,
even win share. You know what I'm saying? Like, this motherfucker, like, I don't know.
Well, he doesn't, but here's the thing. Like, if you're a center and, like, a lot of your baskets are, but like, yes, he'll come out and shoot an occasional mid range jumper, whatever. But my point is that, like, his offense is pretty simplistic compared to Bam. Right. So, yeah, Bam's going to be less efficient.
Well, and
like,
Bam's
Rudy Gobert is very efficient. And he typically only scores the ball like a couple of different ways.
But you know,
Mitchell Robinson, I think, led the league in like offensive rating 1 year. You know what
Allen
I mean?
Allen out rebounded Bam. He had more blocks.
Yeah, because Bam be on the perimeter locking shit up. Here's the thing: like, there are guys who are really good at rim protecting. Bam doesn't let you get to the rim, right? There's something to be said for that. Like, if he's going out on you in the perimeter, like, you're not even getting to the paint. So it's not even like, oh, he's great at guarding the paint. It's like, he'll come out and you won't even get to the fucking paint. Kyrie Irving tried. Steph Curry tried. Like, a lot of these dudes have tried. Now, it's not like he's unassailable. Like, occasionally.
I mean, right. Let's also, like, you know, when is that in the shot clock? Like, come on. If you got to guard them all game, like, it ain't going to be that. Like, it ain't
right, going to be. I don't know if he could lock Kyrie. That wouldn't be smart basketball, like, scheming either.
Agreed. You know? That's just my point. It's like, all right, yeah, he does his thing. No,
what I'm saying is, like, if you want to do the switch or whatever, like, he's never at a disadvantage.
No, man. No. Wait till,
but I give Bam credit for being on the number one team in the East compared to what Jared Allen was on the eighth team in the East. That's why I go Bam ahead of
him. I can't wait for next year when the Knicks come back. And the Knicks is doing all this shit.
RJ Barrett, baby.
I'm voting them in all these awards. Man, y'all gonna be so salty.
Vote all your guys, man. Vote your guys.
Are we for executive of the year? Are we giving LeBron that award?
Him and KD should have to give money back for the teams they put together. They should get money taken away from them for the process they put together.
Yeah, or give them defensive player of the year because they blocked a lot of opportunities for their teams. There you go.
Who gets the whatever it is, J. Walter Kennedy citizenship or whatever the fuck award? Who gets that? Are we done here?
Yeah, we're done. I don't know.
Yeah, who gets a citizenship award? I don't know, man.
Who's a good citizen out there? None of them. I don't know.
I can tell you who won't get it. Oh, Kyrie Irving.
The joke entered my head, too, and I'm like, somebody's going to say it.
What do you mean? He's standing up for the people.
No.
The mandates, man.
That man out here not caring about the people's health. Oh, all right, this was a fun one. We went long.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I even made a mistake. I put LeBron on all NBA teams, and then I took it back. See? You can, it's all good, man.
Now, wait, let me ask you guys this. The official All-NBA team, does he make it?
Yes.
Oh, of course.
They're not going to leave him off. You know, he's going to be on the third team.
His media fanboys will 100% go.
LeBron will make it. Trey will make it. There might not be any Heat players on All-NBA.
That's crazy.
That would be wild.
I didn't think Butler deserved it last year, and they put him on there.
I think Butler deserved it more this year than last year. I think that's fair. But I think if you leave Jimmy Butler off this year, that's a bad job. That's a bad job.
Last year, I gave it to him taking into account that he lost 12 pounds in the middle of the year because of COVID and then came back and dropped 21-7-7.
You're the only one who knows that, though.
You know what I'm saying? No, I mean, that was reported.
Yeah, you also just love the Heat. No, but seriously, if they leave Butler off, I do think that's a bad job. I will definitely say that. Can you imagine if they leave Kevin Durant off? Yo, Gerard is going to be rioting in these streets.
The game, they both played around 56 games. Both of them missed a lot of games.
I think Towns will get in too. I think he
does. Towns getting in.
Towns should be in. Any chance that Murph's boy Harden makes the team?
Absolutely not.
He might. He has some fanboys.
Who the hell are you putting him on his team?
Listen, I'm saying.
Maury's out there writing letters right now.
You're right. So. You're right. All of that. You're right.
But there are some people.
I put him over Trey. What if they put him over Trey?
I'm not going to say any names, but there's an infamous. Occurrence of an NBA writer out there voting for Defensive Player of the Year and having Andre Drummond and Hassan Whiteside on his ballot, a writer that we all know, who is no longer on Twitter. I'm not going to mention his name, but if any Net fans are hearing this, you know exactly who I'm talking about. And look, there are some people who are just going to look at numbers and be like, I know I've heard Harden hasn't been as good, but 22-8-9 or whatever the fuck he has.
You're not watching the games. That's terrible.
But I don't think he gets good, though.
Like, that's not even good, like, compared to the other guards that are ahead of him.
Well, we know that a lot of people, not a lot, I'm not going to say that. There are some people who have votes that don't deserve them.
Right? 100%.
Before we get up out of here, who do we think is going to win these play-in games? Coming up, we got Nets, Cavs. What's the schedule? Nets, Cavs tomorrow.
And then Timberwolves, Clippers.
Timberwolves, Clippers, which I'm excited to see that game. Who do you got winning those games?
Nets and Timberwolves.
Nets, Timberwolves, Brian?
Nets and Timberwolves, assuming Kawhi Leonard doesn't come back.
You're not coming back for that game.
You're not back for that game.
Murph? I'm a wrestling fan. You know what I'm saying? Like,
is that Kawhi's music?
What'd you say, Murph?
Nets and Clippers. I still don't trust the Timberwolves completely.
I don't blame you for not trusting
them. When you start believing in the Clippers over the Timberwolves, whoo, that's
Pat Beverly revenge game.
That's amazing. And so the other game would be Hawks-Hornets on Wednesday. You got Hawks. And then the last game would be Spurs and Pelicans.
Pelicans.
You got Pelicans and Hawks?
Yeah, Pelicans, Hawks.
Murph?
I got Hawks, and who knows with that other one?
Yeah, I mean, it's just like they, both them teams are just ugh.
Ryan, who you got?
Pelicans and Hawks.
I'm going Hawks, Spurs in that one. But yeah, who knows? In that game.
I don't trust the Hornets, man. I've tried, but
they can't guard at all.
They can't guard anybody. I mean, neither really.
That game is going to, whatever the over is.
Bang that over.
Whatever the over is.
Bang that over. Bang that over.
Like 400. Yep.
Over. LaMelo and Trey.
That would give us Celtics Nets and Heat versus Hawks in the East.
I like
and
that.
In the West, it would give us Grizzlies Timberwolves, which is interesting.
NBA and then, TV series.
And then.
No, ESPN. They're already on ESPN.
Oh, they did.
Game one's on ESPN.
Okay.
Okay. Grizzlies Well, Ja Morant, they're going to try to, like, you know.
I would hope.
Grizzlies Timberwolves. Is John Collins out for the season?
I don't know if it's like undecided if he's coming back or not. Like,
that's the thing that I think the Hornets, like, if the Hornets get hot and they could, like, that could be scary, but they're also on the road. And then the other series would be Clippers versus Phoenix. Assuming the Clippers even win, I think they would in the subsequent game. I think the 7 and 8s should win, but look, man, shit happens in single elimination. So
teams get tight.
So who you got? Oh, yeah, you got the Hawks coming up. That's right.
Teams get tight, man.
Hawks Heat and Nets Celtics will be really good. That'll be.
I think the Hawks could win game one, and then after that.
Shout out to the Bucks for talking to Nets. Shout out to the Bucks.
Listen. Taking the Bulls, who are, you know, everybody, nobody's really scared of them. You like, and it's close travel wise. Milwaukee, Chicago, that's like 30 minutes,
45-minute flight. Yep.
Right. Whatever. I mean, that's
a no brainer.
The Bucks are geniuses.
That's a smart move.
Yo, Boston. Jaylen Brown's not vaccinated. All right, cool. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to sit everybody. We're going to get fucking smacked by the Cavs. Y'all motherfuckers choice. Play the Nets or play the Raptors. Where you have to go.
Genius move by the Bucks.
Genius by the Bucks. And they're also telling Boston, yeah, we don't care. We'll beat you in six.
We don't need that. Also, genius. I think the other series the two series I'm really intrigued about coming up, the 4-5 matchups. Philly and Toronto. I think Toronto could win that.
Raps in six.
I like that. I like that picture, Ron.
That's today.
Then what do we got? Mavs and Utah. Mavs in five. The Doncic injury. We got to wait on that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Because if they don't have Luka, then all bets.
No Luka. It might be crazy, but
could you imagine? So remember last year, right? Nets went up 2-0 on Milwaukee. Everybody's like, all right, Bud about to get fired. It was all right. All end of the world.
Don't do it.
I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is Luka gets injured, right? He don't play. Utah wins, and somehow they find themselves in the conference.
I knew that's where you were going.
No, that's the thing about this league.
Wouldn't Utah have to play Phoenix, though?
But in the second round, they would. Phoenix is six or seven games.
And then Chris Paul gets injured, as he will.
Damn, why you got to be fucking rooting for my guy to get injured, man?
I mean, doesn't he do it every playoffs? I don't know.
That's the thing. So let's say this before we get off. Injuries and COVID and all this shit.
That will determine.
I think it's going to be more of a factor than we'd want. And
it always is. Every season it is. Every season injuries decide.
Yo, if Utah makes a run to the finals,
All of a sudden Quinn gets an extension. Donovan, Rudy, your best buds, they're going on vacation together and shit. Like,
Donovan will need to average about 35 for them to have any chance, I think.
I mean, he could.
Denver series.
And also hope somebody on that team can guard in the perimeter. That's the problem.
Y'all think Denver could beat Golden State?
Yes. No. I don't think they will, but I think they can. I don't think they will. I wouldn't.
I think they could win two games because they can make Jokic can make things.
What
a problem
if Curry is like? We're not sure if Curry's 100%.
Nah, they can still win.
If I'm Jokic, I don't want to deal with Draymond Green.
Yeah, Draymond's annoying as hell.
You know, like, Draymond's going to kick him in his nuts. Yeah, he's going to fucking try to suplex him at one point.
The biggest question is if everybody seems to like the Raptors over the Sixers, which I do, if that happens, and then Murph's boy Harden looks bad, oh, man. Oh. We were talking about that extension in the group chat today.
He looks bad.
I don't know.
I pulled up his numbers this year just to make sure he wasn't going to be, you know, all NBA. Oh, man, those shooting numbers.
Oh, ugly. Ugly.
And when you watch
– and it matches the eye work, test. The eye test is even worse.
When you watch, it's worse. Well,
Murph, we watched him all season with the Nets. We're like, what is this guy doing?
He's just trying to get bailed that's out.
What, yeah, he's just throwing shots up at the rim.
Which is what I was saying.
That's what I was saying about Morey. Like
you watch
like,
this.
It's your job. It's your job to know what's going on.
That's
right?
His BFF,
like,
man. They boys.
Like, how are they 2 hours away and you don't know how he's playing?
Love is blind, man. You know? Love is blind. Love is blind. Love is blind. You see what you want to see. You know what I'm saying? It's like that old Mario Winans song. He didn't want to know. He didn't want to know what was going on. So he wasn't looking. He wasn't looking. He didn't want to
and
know.
Also, Harden played himself, too, because he would have had an easier – we always said he needs two stars, not one, to get a championship. At least if he was still in Brooklyn, he wouldn't have to do as much.
And he did have Chris Paul and Dwight Howard and shit. So, like, he had stars. Dwight Howard was still really good at that
point. And then last thing, watch out. Your boy Ben Simmons might be back for the playoffs. Ugh. Out there ramping it up at practice today.
We'll see.
Nah, we'll see.
You can't throw him out. He hasn't played since the playoffs. You're going to throw him out there in a playoff game?
I mean,
well, listen, 10 minutes. I'll take 10, 15 minutes.
You know, the Nets are massive subterfuge and like throwing, you know, they be lying about injuries and circulating videos for propaganda and shit. You know how they do.
I think it's fair to question, was Ben Simmons even really injured?
Yeah, I think he had.
No,
I think so? I don't know.
What's the purpose of?
Yeah, what's the purpose, like, to sit out? For
the
what?
The only thing I can think.
I don't know what Ben Simmons' purpose is.
The only thing I'm thinking about is it's got to be something with Philly where he didn't want to come back really quickly because he said all the mental health stuff. So if he came back and automatically.
We way past that now.
And nobody cares. Okay,
like, there's also that
when it's all said and done, well, like
I don't,
getting his money, I don't even think that even plays into it really. Like,
like
even if he played, that doesn't mean you weren't, you didn't have mental issues before that.
No, it doesn't. I just don't, you know, you never know people wanting to protect their image or trying to protect their image, and the whole thing now with him with the money. I agree with you. I don't think most people care.
My thing is, he had back injuries in Philly.
He did, right?
So, but my thing is, How is that not taken care of? Like I'm not saying that I don't know how he got injured. He's had that issue. So you go a year without taking care of that shit? Like, what's wrong?
What I think is that surgery is like a nuclear option, and they're trying to avoid that. And when he started practicing again with the Nets to get ready, he aggravated it, ramping up, and they were like, "Yo, this shit." Because again, and they knew because the Nets had the medicals. They're like, "Ben, you know, talk about surgery. I don't think he wants to get surgery. Who wants to get back surgery? Nobody. That's not an ideal
MPJ
thing to do."
MPJ tried not to, and
right, he had to get it right. Like, mm-hmm. it's not a good look. So I think he kept trying to like avoid it.
6'10" light skin thing.
Yo, on that note, you got Murph taking shots at R&B singers. And 6'10" light-skinned brothers.
I'm just kidding.
And Murph is like, yo, they kind of merged together. I can't really tell the difference there. Like, there might be some overlap. Like,
back issues, okay.
You said 6'10", R&B.
Yo, that is it for this episode of the A Hotel Podcast. Oh, I think this is our longest episode ever, Brian. Episode 220.
Oh, no. Wife, you gonna be mad.
Might have to break it into two parts, y'all, right? You might have to break that into two parts. It's a lot
for people to digest, or people just turn it on after they realize I picked LeBron to be on second team. That's probably what will happen. Or they might turn it off when they heard Murph and Gerard going at it.
That
should have hit the mute button. Especially when you're talking about KD.
I couldn't do that to y'all this time, but if that happens again, we got to give y'all the around the horn treatment, man. We got to do that there. One day, Gerard and Murph will settle the debate on Larry Bird and Kevin Durant. One day, we'll settle that debate.
It was written.
We're not doing this.
That is Gerard Hector. Check out his work on True Hoop. Check out my man, Jamal Murphy, the Blacketologist, his great work on Airscape and all the stuff he does. Also, check out Brian Fonseca. He's about to hop on another show, 5 Reasons Sports. He'll be talking about the Heat, so you know he's going to sleep really good tonight. He'll talk enough about the Heat.
Hopefully. I haven't been getting sleep like that lately.
Yeah, because you're stressed out about your team getting bounced in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah,
I don't have that stress this year. That stress at all. I'm good, but I'm miserable because I'm a Knicks fan. I'm Dexter Harry. Until next time on ATL, Ain't Hard to Tell Podcast, y'all.
Let's go Mets.
Let's go Knicks.